Are God and Satan locked in a titanic struggle that could go either way? Thousands of years of human cruelty and indifference towards others might suggest that Satan is winning the struggle between good and evil. Does Satan and the devil have the ultimate say over your future? Is God nervous over whether he can save humanity? Some televangelists say that if you don't hear the name of Jesus, you could be lost. Is that fair? These are the headlines. In a moment, we're going to look at the important news behind the headlines.
Welcome to the Good News Program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. The Good News doesn't try to cover up today's problems. This is a program that dares to look at today's dilemmas and ask the questions that must be asked. It seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. Please join Gary Petty for a discussion of today's Good News subject.
The battle between good and evil is the foundation of religion and philosophy. And let's face it, in everyday life, good doesn't always win. And if God is so good and powerful, why does it seem that Satan seems to influence so many people to do so many evil things? From the Good News Studio here in Cincinnati, Ohio, we're joined by Gerald Aust, senior writer for the Good News Magazine and a minister for the United Church of God. Gerald, it's always great to have you on the program.
It's good to be with you, Gary.
Okay, we've got a fascinating topic today. It's all about whether God is still battling Satan for the future of mankind and for the control of the earth. You know, some people assume that there's sort of an ongoing cosmic battle between God and Satan, and that the outcome is not yet settled, that the future of the universe is still up for grabs. How do you answer that?
Oh, my short answer, Gary, is hogwash. Now, my longer answer is, well, encouraging. Beyond question, there is absolutely no contest between God and Satan as to who's in charge. God's in charge, and Satan knows it. Incredibly, Satan likes to convince people that he can still win. Now, understandably, this can make Christians nervous. However, there's not a chance that this can happen. Not in our wildest imagination. We'll make that clear. Let's get the history, Gary, on Satan's design to become, let's call it King of the Hill, in God's place. God says that he created the angels, and he certainly created Lucifer, who became Satan. Well, he did that on his own. Lucifer got vain and he got proud about his talents and looks and gifts that God created in him. So now he got it in his mind that he was faster, that he was stronger, somehow smarter, probably better looking than God. Well, he was dead wrong. From the moment that he got those thoughts, he sinned and thus began his downward spiral into oblivion. He was, and of course is, very powerful, but never as powerful as the God who created him. His sinning attitude weakened him further, for strength, as you know, Gary, lies in humility, sacrifice, and love.
So we know, of course, you talked about him being Lucifer, his first stage, which we find from the book of Ezekiel in the Old Testament. He was a very favored archangel of God, and he literally, I guess you could say, turned on the hand that fed him. The Bible shows that this superior attitude of his got him confined to the earth. So what effect does he have on humanity?
Well, Lucifer, Gary, before he was Satan, was assigned to the earth. A lot of people don't know that. He was there to oversee this earth, to manage it, to preserve it. He left his own habitation in Jude 6. And 2 4:4, he's called the God of this world, Ephesians 2, Prince of the Power of the Air. All of these terms have to do with the fact that he had something to do with this earth. Instead, he rebelled against God. He persuaded one-third of the angels to follow him. That made him into demons. And then they ascended to heaven to throw God off his throne. Find that in Isaiah 14. Well, God threw them back to earth, and Satan fell to the earth like lightning. Although Satan and the demons never had the chance to overcome God from the very beginning, their first great loss was when they sinned against God. And their second great loss, you got one, you got two now, was when they were summarily thrown back to their original habitation, of course, this earth. Now, Gary, since Satan couldn't overcome God, he tried to destroy the earth, and he failed even there. God simply recreated the surface of the earth. He created human beings on it. It happened to be the crowning glory of his greatness. Satan and the demons lost for the third and final time. You know the old familiar three strikes and you're out? Well, Satan and the demons not only lost their battle with God, but they lost their battle for human lives, and they did that forever.
You know, using your baseball analogy here, I guess we can say that strike one was that Lucifer rebelled against God, and strike two was when Satan and the demons were thrown from the throne of God when they tried to take the throne. Strike three. We're going to talk about that when we get back. But before we answer that, we'll take a short break and tell you how you can get your free copy of the literature offered on today's program.
Why does so much conflict, violence, and downright evil permeate our societies? Why such chaos and confusion for the majority of mankind? Things do not just happen without someone or something causing them to happen. You can know the cause of this world's problems and the underlying reason for so many of the difficulties you face in your own life. Our free booklet, Is There Really a Devil?, will help you understand the real cause of all these evils and, more importantly, what you can do about it. Our free booklet, Is There Really a Devil?, will help you understand the incredible truth about what lies ahead for all humanity. Call for your copy right now. Call 1-800-966-9232 for your free copy of Is There Really a Devil? There is no cost or obligation, and it may change your life for the better. Ask for your copy today by calling 1-800-966-9232.
Are you tired of hearing nothing but bad news? Well, here's some good news. You can receive a year's subscription to the Good News Magazine absolutely free. The Good News Magazine isn't a Pollyannish cover-up of today's problems. It is a magazine that dares to look at today's problems and ask the questions that must be asked. The Good News seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered in the pages of your Bible. Today's radio program is sponsored by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. Your free subscription to the Good News has already been paid. You will never be sent a bill or be obligated in any way. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. That's 1-800-966-9232 for your free subscription to the Good News behind the headlines.
Before the break, Gerald and I were discussing how the God versus Satan, good versus evil concept is really the foundation of religion, even much of philosophy. We talked about how, according to the Bible, God created an angel named Lucifer, how Lucifer developed an arrogance about his gifts and talents and foolishly decided to try to actually throw God off his throne. We learned that God, of course, threw Satan and his demons back down to the earth where they reside now. Now, we're going to learn about this third strike. We talked about this baseball analogy in the last segment. Two strikes against Satan. There's a third strike that's coming, one that permanently knocks him out of the ballpark. So, Gerald, maybe enlighten us. What is his third strike that puts him out of business permanently?
You know, Satan's third strike, to continue this baseball analogy, well, it happened in two parts. This is the third strike only. The two parts were the life and the death of Jesus Christ. Let's deal with Jesus' life first, if we could. Jesus lived a sinless life in the flesh for over 30 years. Most Christians know this. Now, at the zenith of his physical life, Jesus fasted for 40 days, 40 nights in the wilderness that gave him, remarkably, sufficient spiritual power to overcome Satan. And he did this all for the benefit of mankind. This, Gary, was a critical event in that not only did Jesus overcome Satan while living as a man on earth, but he also showed Christians that power was available for all to overcome Satan. Now, this is just the beginning, the first part, I know it sounds complicated here, the first part of Satan's third strike.
You know, this is a very important point. Christ on earth taught us through his example that there really is no controversy of somehow Satan getting to God through Jesus. He's tried everything. Well, if I can't get to him one way, I'll get to him another way. He's not going to get to God through Jesus. And this is very encouraging to Christians.
Exactly.
Because we know we can have that kind of protection. I mean, Jesus never gave in to sin. He lived a sinless life no matter what Satan threw at him, because, of course, he was God on earth,
right,
no matter what trials he threw at him. Now, there's a second part to the final strike. What's that?
Well, now, the second part of the third strike took place on the tree, what's commonly called the cross by Christians. Amazingly, Jesus' sacrifice on the cross or the tree was prophesied way back in Genesis 3, verse 15. It says there, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." What it says in Genesis 3:15. Now here, let's have a little definition of terms. Your seed equals the world. The seed refers to Jesus Christ.
Your seed because it was Eve's seed.
Correct.
So that's people.
That's right.
Okay, okay.
Precisely.
Right.
Satan bruised Jesus' heel or tripped him up, that's what it literally means, on the cross or the tree, trying to slow everything down, stop everything before it reaches its fruition. This means that Satan tried to cripple Jesus' great redemptive work on the cross. He foolishly presumed that by inciting Jesus' murder among human beings, he would somehow foil God's salvation of mankind. Instead, it only fulfilled God's plan. As it says, "Who has saved us, called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace," notice carefully, "which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began." It's in 2 Timothy chapter 1, 8. Now, the part that says in Genesis 3:15, "He shall bruise your head," refers to Christ Jesus actually knocking, if I can use this in the vernacular, knocking Satan in the head and putting him out of business permanently.
Once again, this is very encouraging. I mean, Satan exists. Of course, now what we're saying here, though, if Jesus put him out of business, why is he still around? Not only why is he still around, and we still have to deal with his evil influence, but we also know from prophecy that he tries to thwart Christ's second coming, just like he tried to destroy God's plan in his first coming. So he is still around, right? And he still has a role to play in what's going to happen in the future.
You know, that is so easily misunderstood, that thought that you brought up. Excellent thought. And that is that when it comes to God and his judgment, I figured there are at least seven different parts to that. You know, it's sort of stepwise progression. Now, this is just the sentencing part with Satan's judgment.
No, it's God sentencing Satan.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. As opposed to execution. I'm getting ahead of myself here a little bit, but I think we should have that contrast in there. And this was fulfilled by Jesus in the wilderness and sealed when Jesus was murdered on the tree or cross, died, and then he was resurrected. The point of Christ's resurrection and, of course, acceptance by God the Father, Satan's fate was sealed. But the execution of Satan's fate happens in two parts, at Christ's return, something you mentioned earlier, and at the end of the 1,000-year period, often called the millennium. When Christ returns, he will destroy all humans who try to destroy this earth. His very next act on earth is to jail or incarcerate Satan and the demons. Satan is jailed for 1,000 years, totally deprived of any power. And at the end of 1,000 years, after humanity has lived in the lap of luxury, human beings will once again become arrogant. God will then release Satan and the demons to influence them to conquer Jerusalem. And at that time, God first destroys the human rebels with fire and brimstone, but immediately following them, this is vitally important, all has to do with the sentencing and the execution of sentence here against Satan. Christ then takes Satan and the demons, passes them through a type, and it's only a type, of the lake of fire, and it's a symbolic lesson for human beings. The very real act, and it's a very real act, is the permanent removal of Satan and the demons. Final step in God's salvation of billions of human beings during the White Throne Judgment is going to be totally free from Satan and the demons. This is the permanent disposal of Satan and the demons. This is the execution of the sentence. It's been decided in the wilderness, on the cross, and immediately after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's how that works.
When you say decided in the wilderness, you're talking about the wilderness where Jesus went and fasted,
right,
and was tempted by Satan.
Big part.
And of course, what you were talking about as far as the carrying out the sentence on Satan was in from Revelation 19:20.
Yes. I didn't mention that. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's good.
If somebody wants to go read that on your own, that's Revelation 19:20. So we've seen how God disposes of Satan and the demons and how the satanic notion that he can somehow, you know, he has an ace up his sleeve, he can get to God somehow, somewhere, it's just not true. It's not going to happen.
No.
The Bible is clear. He has no chance. He has no choice in the matter. He only has leeway as much as God gives him. God is in charge, period. Just how does God's victory over Satan figure in your life? That's what's important. So don't go away, because we'll be back to discuss Satan and you right after this short break.
Why does so much conflict, violence, and downright evil permeate our societies? Why such chaos and confusion for the majority of mankind? Things do not just happen without someone or something causing them to happen. You can know the cause of this world's problems and the underlying reason for so many of the difficulties you face in your own life. Our free booklet, Is There Really a Devil?, will help you understand the real cause of all these evils, and more importantly, what you can do about it. Our free booklet, Is There Really a Devil?, will help you understand the incredible truth about what lies ahead for all humanity. Call for your copy right now. Call 1-800-966-9232 for your free copy of Is There Really a Devil? There is no cost or obligation, and it may change your life for the better. Ask for your copy today by calling 1-800-966-9232.
Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org.
Welcome back to Good News Radio. We've been discussing the cosmic struggle between God and Satan. Now, we've confirmed that the Bible shows that there is really no titanic struggle going on between God and Satan over who's in charge, with some kind of prospect that Satan can pull out a last-minute victory and destroy the universe. Satan is only able to do what God allows him to do. You know, Gerald, since God is fully in charge, and since Satan is trying to deceive, I guess, everyone into thinking that he might sort of win in the long run, how does this all work out in the average Christian's life?
Oh, this is the good part, Gary. When Christians know, not just what, but when they know that God is completely in charge of everything, including Satan and the demons, then Christians can have great confidence to live the life of a true Christian. We can live happy and secure lives in a world that lives contrary to God and Christ. And that's not always easy. We do not. I repeat, Gary, we do not have to fear the god of this world, Satan the devil. A true Christian's life in this world is indeed tough because there's sacrifice involved. But it's a whole lot easier than living a non-Christian's life. A non-Christian, of course, is left to the caprice of this world, fickle, and to Satan the devil, because his avowed purpose is to destroy human beings. But Christ protects those that follow him, and that's the good part.
You know, like I've often said, you have two choices in life, a hard life as a Christian or a hard life as a non-Christian. It's better to choose it with a little help through this life.
A lot easier.
You know, the first example that comes to mind as you were talking about this is the Old Testament person of Job. God allowed Satan to actually do bad things to Job, but only within the parameters that God established. God is obviously there to protect Job and keep Satan from going so far. And this is a great comfort, I think, to anyone who is a Christian.
Oh, it's such a great example for us. You know, Gary, God is a jealous God, and anyone who touches or hurts one of his disciples, actually, based on the way Christ looks at it, touches or hurts him personally. He views a true Christian as the apple of his eyes, the Bible says, in about four or five places. Now, Job is a case in point. In Job chapter 1, we find God talking with Satan about Job. Then the Lord said to Satan, this is in Job 1, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there's none like him in the earth? He's a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil." Notice here, Satan answered the Lord and said, "Does Job fear God for nothing? Haven't you made a hedge about him, around his household, around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land." This is an accusation that Satan was making. Amazingly, Satan revealed that he knew that God protected Job from Satan because he was blameless, one who feared God, one who shunned evil. Gary, this example shows that God is completely in charge and Satan knows it. In fact, in the following verse, Satan attempts to goad God, influence God, to move aside completely to remove his protection of Job so he could prove to God that Job was a phony, he was weak, and he was full of hot air, nowhere near what God thought and said he was.
You know, I find interesting in that example, too, is that it is God who brings Job to Satan's attention. In other words, Satan doesn't just show up accusing Job. He has to wait for God to introduce Job, and which shows that God is in charge. He has control. And this is a great
excellent
example.
Thought.
Give another example. What's another example that from the Bible that shows God's in charge and over Satan?
I don't know how many people know this. You have an Old Testament example in Job. You also have a New Testament one. Jesus Christ reassured us that God is very much in charge and that Satan can't touch God's people. Now, this is the New Testament, without God's permission. Let's take a look at Luke's account on this point. And the Lord said in Luke 22, "Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." Christ knows that Satan still had to ask permission from God in order to test and try Peter so he could sift him like chaff. He wanted to test and destroy Peter before Peter could fulfill his role as apostle in the New Testament church, his role of preaching the gospel to thousands of church members yet to come. And Jesus' prayer to God the Father was enough to restrain Satan and to hedge Peter about with God's protection. God's implied answer to Satan's request was flatly denied. Peter would be spared from Satan's terrorist activities, just like Job suffered. God is in charge. There was no controversy at all. God knows it. Satan knows it. And now our listeners know it.
You know, when you summarize what we've talked about then, God created Lucifer, of course, all the angels. Lucifer rebelled and tried to throw God off his throne. He tried to destroy God's creation. He tried to test Jesus in the wilderness and get to God that way. He tried to trip up God's plan by having Jesus killed, by motivating all the things that happened there. Finally, he's going to try to fight against and mobilize humanity to fight against Jesus at his return. He fails in all this, and he's jailed for 1,000 years, released for a short period of time. He still doesn't get it, tries to fight against God, and then he's gone forever. I guess, you know, God really is in charge.
Oh, is he ever? Satan has already been judged. We know that. He's kind of like a man, if I can use this example, on death row, waiting for the execution of his sentence. He's murdered billions over the centuries. Satan and the demons will be removed, people need to know this, from all life, and will forever wander aimlessly in outer darkness. For the record then, there's absolutely no controversy, no last-minute struggle, including the Great Tribulation, that will somehow show God that Satan is right and that he has the power to overcome God. God is totally in charge of everything, including Satan and the demons, and you can believe they know it. Here is our confidence and our hope. We have a living, all-powerful Christ Jesus at God's right hand of power, protecting and supporting us all the way to life everlasting. Isn't that encouraging?
Oh, it sure is. It sure is. You know, Gerald, we're out of time. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Gary.
Who's in charge, God or Satan? God has allowed humanity to learn the hard lessons of following Satan's ideals of selfishness, greed, and hatred. One future day, God will bring peace and prosperity through Jesus Christ and remove Satan, the author of all war and crime. If you really want to get right with God and have his protection over your life and the lives of your loved ones, you need to order the free booklet, "Is There Really a Devil?" Call now. It's a free call. Call 1-800-966-9232. That's 1-800-966-9232. Why were you born? There's a big difference between grasping the future God wants for you and simply going on the way you have been. The choice is up to you. Join us next time when we continue to explore what the Bible really says about you and your future. For Good News Radio, I'm Gary Petty.
You can know the cause of this world's problems and the underlying reason for so many of the difficulties you face in your own life. Our free booklet, Is There Really a Devil?, will help you understand the real cause of all these evils and, more importantly, what you can do about it. Call 1-800-966-9232 for your free copy of Is There Really a Devil? Ask for your copy today by calling 1-800-966-9232.
Are you tired of hearing nothing but bad news? Well, here's some good news. You can receive a year's subscription to the Good News Magazine absolutely free. The Good News Magazine isn't a Pollyannish cover-up of today's problems. It is a magazine that dares to look at today's problems and ask the questions that must be asked. The Good News seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered in the pages of your Bible. Today's radio program is sponsored by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. Your free subscription to the Good News has already been paid. You will never be sent a bill or be obligated in any way. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. That's 1-800-966-9232 for your free subscription to the Good News behind the headlines. You've been listening to the Good News Radio program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. We seek the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. To receive your free copy of the literature offered on today's program, please call toll-free 1-800-966-9232. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232.